It has been such an awesome weekend. So much has been going on. We ended our 21 days of prayer corporately together last night in the finale. If you were there, would you just kind of whoop and say, yeah, it was awesome. If you were there online, would you just give me like praise hands or something? Because I know that so many people connected live online the entire time. In fact, I heard a story from one of my friends last night who said that it was in the finale at her home that she found her breakthrough. Like, God moved to the... She said she was just on the floor just weeping because of a breakthrough in a way that God moved her, and she was faithful to join us digitally every single night. And so congratulations to you. I'm so glad that you received what you needed from God. I'm so glad that you guys were with us. While I'm communicating to our online family, I want to give a special shout out really quick today to one of the brightest lights in our church, a young lady by the name of Mia. I just wanted to say hello to you. I saw your parents this week, got to talk to your mom and your dad, and what I found out was that you guys, since the pandemic has started, have not missed a Sunday joining us online. You guys have been there every single week, and what I found out is you guys just pile up in the bed together and you watch the service, and I saw you the other night at prayer, and since I didn't get a chance to say hello to you then, I wanted to do it now. Would everybody just join me? We love you, Mia and family. Welcome, welcome, welcome. That's awesome. So yeah, it's been good, and people found breakthrough even through the digital platform of prayer, and people were finding breakthrough in the building. And last night was the finale, and we had a little bit of a celebration. We celebrated the conclusion of that corporate time of prayer, and then we did have some food brought in to celebrate also my anniversary, which was yesterday to the day, and that was really awesome. So if you weren't here, I'm not trying to rub it in, but you missed it. You did. We had oxtail, shrimp and grits. We had fried chicken. We had greens, macaroni and cheese, which, by the way, I never eat breakfast ever, but I had macaroni and cheese and Red Bull for breakfast this morning. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, that is so disgusting. But I know what most of you are thinking, and you're thinking, that man is a genius. I know. I know. It was delicious. That's where we've been. We've been in a process of rebuilding our serve team and getting it adequate and strong enough to open the doors again. And that has been awesome. That has been so, so awesome. The people in this room are a part of that story. Even some of you online are a part of that story. So thank you to everybody that's connected to our serve team to serve our church and get our doors open. And that happens. I hope you'll cheer here next Sunday morning. I'm so excited about it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. And so next Sunday, we're opening the doors at 9:30 and 11. Anybody and all is welcome. I want you to know as well, just anybody that's in here and anybody that's connected online, should you be choosing to come back to the building, in our 9:30 service, we will be having all of our kids' classrooms open. So from 6 weeks all the way through fifth grade at the 9:30, we're serving the whole family. So please bring them. Please bring them. And then we are still looking. I'll just be very candid. We are still looking for more people to connect to our entire serve team, but specifically in the way of serving the next generation and serving kids, because our status is not good enough. It's not green to go for the 11 a.m. in kids. So if that's your heart, all access is your next step. We'd encourage you to come and get involved. If you say, look, digitally, there's distance, my work schedule, just go to cotr.live and click contact us and say join the team. We'll tell you your next steps and how to get involved. So that's exciting. And then our students reconvene this coming Wednesday night. So we're just serving everybody. So yeah, it's on. It's back on, and I'm excited about it. It's good. It feels good to be here. And so to all of you that are making it happen, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I just can't say it enough. Amen. Amen. So yeah. Gosh, did I say everything I was supposed to say? Oh, no. We are going to be receiving communion in this service, and so just as I am teaching, we're just going to have some buckets going around with the elements. If you're at home, I would just encourage you, go ahead and get your elements prepared and ready, so just be ready for that. It'll be at the end of service, so if you want to take communion with us, you can take one of those. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray, and then I want to get into the final installment of this message series that we've been in. It's titled, Do This. So let's pray, and then we'll get into that. Father, we just love you, and just thank you so much for, Father, for just meeting us in this place. Here's what we know. Your word says that when two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of them. Father, we acknowledge your presence and welcome you here. We are so glad that you are here. Father, as we transition as a church family, this week is still the launch team. It's still the builders. It's still the people in the room that are helping us get the doors open. As we transition from all that work and readiness and preparation into the opening of the building once again to any and all, we just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would continue to be with us. Continue, Lord God, to be in our midst. Continue, Father God, to guide us as we work and prepare and serve those around us. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would anoint this season in our church, that like your presence would just overflow from the service of this church. I pray that our church, Lord God, would represent you and our community well. I pray that people would experience your power, your touch, your move. We pray for transformation, for salvation, for freedom. God, we simply ask you to have your way. Just like I said a lot of years ago at the age of 14, Father, bring revival to St. Augustine. Bring your spirit in a way, Lord God, that is overflowing to the world around us so that people can find the real, true hope and peace, and that is your Son, Jesus. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's get into it. I got a lot of content in a few minutes, and so I'm going to move kind of quickly. If you're a note taker and you have a pen and something to write on, or you're digital or whatever, there's some things perhaps notable to you should you want to follow along, but I'm going to start where we've started every week of our series that we've been calling Do This, and where it comes from and where it starts and derives is in Luke chapter 22. The Bible says that he, being Jesus, took bread. He gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, being the disciples. So he is Jesus, them is the disciples. And he said these words, "This is my body broken for you." Everybody say these next two words, "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And so what Jesus is doing is he's having this moment with his disciples. He's breaking bread. They're having wine at dinner together. They're talking, and he uses what's in front of him symbolically as a picture of him, like a prophetic picture, meaning he's speaking of things to come. And what he says is that, hey, this body is a good picture of, or this bread, rather, is a good picture of my body. It's going to be broken. And this wine is a good representation of my blood. It's going to be poured out. And then he actually asked the disciples, hey, I want you to do this very act with these very elements. I want you to take this and do this in remembrance of me. In other words, don't forget the sacrifice that I have made for you. And it's not arrogance that Jesus is speaking from. It's like understanding that he's speaking from. He gets it. This is the most significant thing that's ever going to happen in all of human history. Don't forget. What we've been saying, though, as a church is really this statement that we believe that remembrance is more than just the act of communion. So yes, we should have this act. Remembrance, though, is to live a life that is broken and poured out, like Jesus did. Jesus lived this way in front of us all. He was constantly pouring himself into other people. He was constantly serving others. He was feeding people. He was healing people. He was being sometimes confrontational to challenge people toward holiness and toward truth. Jesus was a polarizing figure. He had the anointing and the power of God. He was the very Son of God. He was all God and he was all man, and he was transforming people's lives. And how did he do it? Because he lived his life in a way that was broken and poured out. And what we've been doing in the course of this series 4 weeks now is challenging ourselves, are we willing to do this? Not just the act of communion, but are we willing to live lives that are broken and poured out? And that's what I want to talk deeper about today. Quick review, if you've missed it, you can certainly go to YouTube that now exists. It didn't in 1998, but you can go there and find it and catch up on all things. This has been a four-part series, and really we started out week one, it was like the title track. We just called it Do This. And then week two, we said do this, go all in. Go all in. Week three, we said do this, look up. Y'all remember that? And then this week, we're going to say do this. Ready for it? Serve others. Serve others. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to start with a disclaimer, and then I'm going to move as efficiently as I can through the content that God's given for us today. But here's what I want to say. My disclaimer is just sit back and relax. I don't want anybody to hear me coming out in a way that's like, this is not a guilt attempt message. This is not what I'm trying to do. Here's what I want you to do. Just identify where you are and how God could move you one step. Fair enough? Because I recognize when I talk about serving others, to everyone in this room, it's really a preaching to the choir moment. To many of you online, also preaching to the choir moment. You're engaged, you're serving, you just might not be here in this very moment. But I do believe there are people still a part of our church that God actually might move you a step, and the step may be toward service. Fair enough? Some of you may be moved, even actively serving, and be moved to a step of either greater service, or sometimes there's a step of just being served. Here's my hope, okay, as your pastor, is that I want to make sure that you know, everybody at Church on the Rock, that you are loved. This is our heart. You're loved, you're known, and you're guided. All right, so our heart is saying, let's just take steps in the right direction that God would call us to. Fair enough, that's my disclaimer. So I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. We're going to look at the Word of God today and let it speak for itself. Sound good? All right, let's get started. We're just going to start with the ultimate example, which is Jesus. And the Bible simply says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus is speaking of himself here, even the Son of Man himself did not come to be served, but what? To serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus sets the tone right out of the gate. I mean, if there was ever anybody that deserved attention and like royalty, if ever there was somebody to put on a pedestal, it was Jesus. I mean, he was the guy. But Jesus did everything counterintuitively, even to the way we think. And he just simply said, I didn't show up here for you to like serve me and do for me. That's not my heart. No. I came in the most humble way. I came through the most humble channels. I'm not even doing it the way everybody thought I was going to do it. I showed up here to serve you. And if we are Christians, Christ followers, if we are going to walk in the way of Jesus, if we're disciples of the Most High, if he came to serve, I think it should be pretty clear that we are called to, yeah, okay, amen. I know, I'm preaching to the choir. But I want to go, because maybe this makes sense to some of you, but I honestly think, as crazy as this may seem, that some people would almost write that off. Like, yeah, but Jesus was the Son of God. As if everything he did was just easy because he was the Son of God or because he had the fullness of God's power. And I do. I think sometimes people almost write that off. Well, if I was the Son of God, I could be perfect too. Well, maybe that's true, but you're not. And it's just real talk. You're not. So I would just like to shift to another amazing example in the Bible, someone who I think outside of Jesus is perhaps the most influential person in all of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. I just want to go there. That's who we're really going to let build our case today. And I want to start here. Paul's writing a letter to the Corinthian church. Now, let me give you some context about Paul because I know that not everybody would know this. There are certain giftings in the Bible, and there's what people call the fivefold ministry. And let's make sure I get them all. Help me out if I forget. But there's pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists, and prophets, fivefold. Thank you. And the Apostle Paul was an apostle. What an apostle does is he doesn't oversee a church like a pastor does. He oversees churches. So he raises up like point leaders, gets what we know as church going, and then he would transition and he would go raise up another church leader and get church going. And so what the Apostle Paul did as that's, you know, his, some people don't even know what apostle means or why he's got that prefix, but he is the Apostle Paul because he would raise up churches in different areas, in different communities. In today's world, you might know it as a church planter. He would plant churches in different regions. And then all throughout the New Testament, we get what is called the epistles, which is not the apostles' wives. It's letters. It's letters that Paul wrote to the churches that were started, and sometimes the letter was to the leader, like Timothy. He wrote those letters to Pastor Timothy. Sometimes he wrote the letters to the churches at large, like he did, we're going to get in that context today, to the church at Corinth or Corinthians. And he wrote two very lengthy letters, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You can find that in the New Testament of your Bible. Let's pick up in one of those places, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we're in the 5th verse, 18th verse, 5th chapter. He's written a lot of things already. Okay, so we're sort of jumping in midstream to a point in his letter. So he says, all this is from God, meaning all this stuff I've already written. And if you want that context, just go, that could be your study for the week. Read 2 Corinthians all the way through where we go today. How about that? And he says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And watch this, I love it, gave us the ministry. Amen. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. I love this part. I didn't highlight it because I don't have time to dig here. But not counting people's sins against them. Woo! That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus. That he came to change the method and not count your sins against you. It's beautiful. Amen. And he has committed to us the message. The message of reconciliation, like this thing that God is trying to do. I want to get my people back in close relationship with me. That's what we were designed to do. That's God's greatest desire. I'm trying to reconcile you. I want to redeem you. I want to put you back in your proper place. And there's only one way that can happen, and that is through Jesus Christ. This is why Christianity, I'm going to be bold here, stands alone. No disrespect to what you may have been taught or what you may have heard, but the thing that sets Christianity apart from every other religion is truth. And that is Jesus is the only way to the Father. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No person comes to the Father except through me. Words of Jesus, John 14:6. Okay. And what he's saying is, that this is what Jesus came to do, but he's committed this message to us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. This is giant. This is big. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And what I like about this is that the Apostle Paul is making this strong case, because at this point, Jesus has already died on the cross, gone to the grave, been risen from the dead, hung around in his spiritual body for about 40 days, blowing through walls, elbow bumping people, social distance, heel kicking, the whole thing. Has ascended to the Father, and now the church is living as you and I know it today, like this. And Paul, in communication to the church, is saying, hey, we have a ministry, a task, a role, a responsibility. As crazy as this sounds, Jesus left the message to you and me. Amen. Like, think about it. Can we be really honest for just a minute? Like, jacked up, sinful, can't get it together, flawed us. We're the mission. Our ministry is the message of reconciliation. We have a job to do, and that is to get the gospel, the hope of Jesus, to the world around us. And so what we've been doing as a church, when we closed the doors back whenever it was, feels like 10 years ago, right? Whenever it was the second time we closed the doors, I was resetting the culture of this house. I'll be very candid about what I've been trying to do. I want to reset the culture. And what I'm trying to do is set the culture in the context in which Paul was writing letters to the church and say, hey, like, we have something to do. And he was saying even words like, I implore you, I'm begging you, I'm strongly encouraging you. I'll use the King James Version. I beseech thee, therefore, brethren. Like, come, be a part of the process. And I love this about Paul, because he's not mincing words. And what we've been doing in these weeks where we've been gathering people in the building, we've been having relaunch meetings, and we've got all kind of data, and we've been reaching out and making phone calls and text messaging, is because we're trying to find, listen, we're trying to find and fill a house full of contributors, not consumers. And that's a little bit heavy, but it's in line with our purpose. So let me say it this way. You were born for purpose, not to find it. And our purpose as followers of Christ is to serve others like Jesus did, to live broken and poured out. Let me make this statement. I didn't write this. All the statements I'm going to give you, I borrowed from heroes in the faith. But I love this statement. The church is not a building that exists for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. Amen. So the consumer-filled mind is trying to get here to receive. The contributing-filled mind is trying to get here to charge up. Like, I got to go from here and get something done. I got to make a difference here. Like, this is the place where I'm like, I'm going to rally it together, and I'm going to go make a difference, right? We are the church, and we exist for the world. So whether the doors are closed or the doors open, the purpose remains. Amen. The purpose remains because it's all about the gospel, the hope of Jesus. Amen. I got to move quick. Y'all good? All right, here we go. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. We're designed differently, built differently. We have personalities, we have certain gifts, we have certain outlooks. And then what does the Bible tell us to do? To use them. Use them well. For what? To serve others. And again, I don't preach you to the choir, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I just want you to let the word of God speak to you. Because we're called to serve, we're called to make a difference. Now, we're in the context of this series in which we're talking about being broken and poured out. And here's what I've recognized, just in my time serving and my years being in ministry and all that stuff, is that oftentimes serving people requires me to be broken, and it requires me to pour out energy, care, emotional investment, spiritual investment, physical investment. Sometimes, in order to serve people, it goes against what I would prefer. It's dirtier than I would wish. It's harder than I would like. But my heart is that we would be a house full of people that would commit to say, no, we do this. We serve others. It's who we are. Because that's who we have been called by God to be. And so I want to show you, I think I'm on time. I think that my, let's see if I'm in the right order. I want to show you, I did good, the Apostle Paul. I'm going to show you the Apostle Paul, who is saying to the Corinthians, hey, listen, we should use our gifts. Hey, listen, we are here to serve others. We have the message. We're the ambassadors. I just want to show you something that he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 starts in verse 24. Five different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Five times they gave me 39 lashes. I don't have time to tell you the difference between a Roman 39 lashes and a Jewish 39 lashes. It's really interesting. There is a difference. And just, I'll digress 1 second because I think it's awesome. The difference, they're both awful. Like, they're awful. But the Roman 39 lashes is completely inhumane, and few people survived it at all. Which I just want to like caveat 1 second to say, it only further convinces me of Jesus's total toughness. He was not some weak, paper pushing, soft, like Jesus was a man to have survived a Roman lashing and carry his cross and be nailed to it. And have the mindset to communicate yet still with his Father. And have the heart to yet forgive the... Staggering to me. One day I'll get into the details about it with us. It's amazing. Paul took these 39 lashes from the Jews, which is slightly better, five times. Three times I was beaten with rods or flogged. Once I was stoned. They literally took him outside the city gates and threw him out because they thought he was dead. Three times I was shipwrecked. That's where I'd quit, right there. I'm out. Right, drop me off in the center of the ocean, no boat, I'm done. I'm scared of water. I still wear wings in the swimming pool. Once I spent a whole night, a day adrift at sea. I have traveled many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities. I've faced dangers in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my calling for all the churches. And I just read this to us to put into a perspective of what do this might kind of look like. Now, I don't actually think that any of us would endure that kind of treatment. I don't. That's like super crazy extreme. But I also have a belief, by the way, right? Like, I don't think successful people become successful on accident. Like, you don't stand up on top of a hill and fell there. You climbed there. And I do believe that the higher you go in a call from God, the higher the pressure. Paul, I just said it moments ago, I believe is the second most influential person in all the New Testament outside of Jesus himself. The guy had a high mark and a high call on his life, and it did require high prices. It did. And I'm not suggesting that if somebody beats you up, you know what I mean, like you should just smile and serve them right away, though that would be very biblical and Christ-like. What I am suggesting, though, is that we should drop the naive thinking that making a difference in people's lives won't hurt some or cost us something. Or being obedient to the call that God has placed on us with the gift that he's placed on the inside of us isn't going to take us through seasons where we might feel like we're out in the cold or hungry or hopeless or abandoned or shipwrecked. Maybe even as a parallel to an emotional state of mind, I'm just here to be honest with you and say that serving people is like when you do it, you're broken. And oftentimes poured out. Not always, but sometimes. And the challenge, the guidance that I want to try, as a pastor, I just want to lovingly and respectfully say, are you holding out because you're afraid of pain? Because the truth of the matter is, there's not a serve team member in our whole church that doesn't experience pain. None of them. There's not one that doesn't sometimes wish they could sleep in on the day they're scheduled to make a difference. There's not one that doesn't sometimes wish, man, if it wasn't my day, I don't know if I would even go. There's not a one that hasn't had a season where they wonder, like, does this even matter at all? I'm just talking real talk with some people. Because making a difference in people's lives has prices associated to it that aren't always flashy and fun. It's not always 21 day of prayer finale moments. Sometimes it's real quiet, honest moments where you're in the trenches with somebody and they're dirty and they're messed up, and for you to serve them, that means you have to step down into that hole and get dirty and messed up too. And then it might not put you at an emotional stretch or a season where you're mentally exhausted. It might not break your pride some. It might not call. I'm just trying to be honest. If we're going to set a culture of servanthood and contribution in this house, I think we should be honest about what it could mean. And I'm not saying this to scare you. I'm saying this to be real with you. I'm just the type of guy that's like, look, tell me like it is. I'm going to give you a super fast story. In 2003, I went down to the recruiting office and signed my name to join the U.S. Army. Now, I know that people have horror stories about recruiters. I do not. I sat down with this amazing lady who became a friend for many years. I haven't seen her in forever, but she was an acquaintance, I guess, now. She was a friend. And when I sat down with her, we're post 9/11, and she said to me, with me and my wife and young daughter, and who's pregnant with our son at the time, like, she understood the context of our family, like, you're a young family. And she was super candid. If you sign these papers, there's a high likelihood that you're going to war. And she just said it like that. And I was like, let's do this. And I signed my name, and I went to war. Now, what I was looking for on my end, I needed a way to provide for my young family. Like, I have to serve them. I need to provide a future. I need some income rolling in. I mean, we were barely getting by. And I needed something that I felt like was more stable, like I'm going to stand on something. And here's what I did. I mean, and I'm not, listen, this isn't like pat me on the back thing. Look, there is a difference. I'm going to identify something. There's a difference between heroes and veterans. I'm a veteran. Okay. But I knew if I do this, I'm probably going to leave my family for an extended period of time. I have no idea what's out there. I have no idea if I'll even come back. And when I left, I put Carter in the crib. He was 4 months old. I was up in the middle of the night. We went down to the thing and put me on the bus. And when I came back, he was a year and a half. I didn't even know if he would recognize me. Will he even know who I am? This is all I'm saying is this. I knew there was a cost associated, and it could have been ultimate, but my serve to my family. I'm going to be, this is probably not good PR move. My serve, I was focused on my family less than my country. I'm proud to have served my country. Hindsight, very glad I did it. It was a great experience in my life. God did incredible things in me that I'll never be the same as a result of. I look back and say, I'm glad I was there. But I was at a point where I understood my serve could cost me a lot, and it did. I had to do it anyway. And listen, all I'm saying is that anytime you serve others, there is an associated cost that isn't always fun, glamorous, and exciting. And I'm just saying that, like, as a church, what if we just went into the mission as ambassadors saying, okay, all right, I'll sign the papers. I'll take the cost. I'll pay the price. Come on, I got to move fast. I got 18 seconds. With this mantra right here, I'm almost done. I really am. With this mantra right here, there's more to this life than this life. I'm going to make a bold statement here to the whole church. Listen to me. Our call as ambassadors of Christ Jesus, our mission to present the gospel to a lost world is more important than anything else in our lives. I didn't say you're serve at the church. I said you're called to be ambassadors. Now, it might look like a serve at the church for a season or for a time or even continually, so don't misplace. All right, I don't need you to soundbite me and then make it sound like that I just said that, you know, opening a door is more important than your kids. That's not what I said. What I said is our mission as ambassadors to present the gospel to the lost world is the most important thing in all of our lives as Christ followers, period. There's more to this life than this life. And if we can maintain that perspective, which I understand sometimes is hard to do, but if we can maintain that perspective, it keeps a healthy motivation on the inside to keep breaking and pouring ourselves out when it's necessary. Now, the whole thing isn't always brokenness and always poured out. There are moments that are great. I'm going to tell you, this weekend has been a great moment for me, honestly. It's been awesome. You know, the video Until You Embarrass Me was so moving. Celebrating with you last night was awesome. And if you were to ask me today, like, how you doing? I'd be like, I'm like on the top of the hill, man. This is great. And I ate macaroni and cheese for breakfast. It's a pretty great day. You know, we celebrated last night. I'm taking my wife on a date today. Like, it's a good day. So I'm not, I'm not trying to paint this picture that it's awful all the time. I'm just saying there are moments, there are times, there are sometimes seasons in which we pay prices, and it causes us to be broken and poured out. But I want you to see this verse right here, and I'm going to close real fast. Hebrews 6:10, it's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, and it says this, God is not unjust. I love every piece of the language here. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown who? Him. As you have helped his people and continue to help them. What I love about this verse is that it tells us directly, it's like directly to us, that when you serve people, it's a direct serve to God himself. So when you are broken and poured out to serve somebody, it's directly to, like, God sees it as like, thank you. Oh, thank you for helping me. Thank you for serving me. He loves his children at a capacity that we'll never ever fathom. So in closing, all right, I promise we're done right here. In closing, three questions, because there may be some of you that practically speaking, you're trying to figure that out. I don't know, maybe you're very young in your faith and you're like, well, I don't really know what serve, even the context of serve even looks like. Just a couple things I'm going to say. Okay, one, if you're new to our church and young in your faith, the best way to learn service is, in fact, to join the team. Like, it teaches you what it looks like to serve other people. I honestly think if you call the house your home, like, I ask my kids to contribute at home, like, clean up after yourself, wash a dish, wipe something down every once in a while. You live here, contribute to the house. I'm just saying, my heart is, if this is your home, contribute to the house, okay? And I get it. Everybody has a season. So again, please don't take me out of context. It's just let God move you, but contribute to the house. All right? And so if you're in that place where you're like, I'm still trying to figure it out. Okay. And your serve goes outside the house, like to your house, your home, your communities, your workplaces, the golf course, the hunting club, like whatever. Like serve goes beyond the address, because we are the church, right? We exist for the world. So three super practical questions are very simple and not going to amaze anybody, but they might help somebody. It's this, all right? Who can you serve? Who? Who can you serve? Just think about it. So, some people are at home in a pretty isolated digital context right now because of the pandemic, and you can't get down to the church and serve and make a difference. Like, we get it and respect it, but who? There's got to be somebody somehow. Who is it? Who can you serve? Okay. Where can you serve? Where? Where can you make a difference? It might be the country club. It might be the neighborhood. Where? Just figure it out. And when? When? So if I pick somebody, if I pick a place, and I pick a time, I can go make a difference in somebody's life. It could be the person, you know, sitting on the corner next to the fast food place, and you, instead of just, you know, pass him a chicken biscuit, you take him inside and ask him about his story while he eats a chicken biscuit. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. I'm just ideas. But who, where, when? This just practically might help some people engage into service. And if you want to make a difference in this house, you could do it. You can serve the people that come next week. You can do it right here at the church, and you can do it next Sunday. All right. In closing, I want to pray a couple things. And what I want to do is I want to pray. Our church is in a really cool transition where we're going from relaunch to full flight. We're going to be at altitude next Sunday. And I just want to pray for God to anoint this, meaning his spirit is like over it. It's not just our talent. It's his power through our giftings. There is a difference. And that's what I'm praying for. And then I want to invite people who might not know Jesus to step into a relationship with him. So if everybody would just bow their heads, close their eyes, I'm just going to pray a little bit, and then I'm going to make an invitation. Father, I do pray that you would move powerfully in our church as we transition from Sunday the 24th relaunch to January 31st, the launch. And I just pray, Father, that your anointing would move through our serve team. Thank you for the people that serve, that make a difference. God, for those that can't make a difference in the building, because of whatever reasons, Lord God, maybe they don't live in our city, or maybe the pandemic has them taking more safety precautions. We pray that you would help them to figure out who they can serve, where they can serve, and when. Help them to find a way to make a difference, Lord God. It's our call to be your ambassadors. It is our message. And I pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint us and help us to do that. Now, the invitation is if you want to make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of your life, I'm going to just say a prayer. I want you to repeat that prayer after me. And I promise you, this is your moment, best decision you're ever going to make. Everybody in the building, if you'll repeat it after me. And if you're watching online, I would love for you to repeat it out loud as well, so that somebody who may be saying it for the first time can say it with confidence. This is their moment, and we just like to help them and tear down barriers. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.